You're listening to Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Dive into the world of mobile gaming with us as we explore the latest trends and discuss best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mobilize and Monetize, Gamesform's podcast, where we talk to some of the leading minds in the mobile games industry. Now, today, I have got a very special guest because joining me is none other than Sven Jurgens, who is independent mobile games consultant at Sven Jurgens Consulting. Sven, it's so great to see you again. Thank you so much for taking the time today to join me.
Mariam, thank you so much for having me.
So there's a lot to cover today. So diving straight into things, we're going to be talking about all things UA, growth, and optimization. So Sven, you've led user acquisition teams since 2017. What are some of the key qualities that you believe are essential for a successful UA manager today? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of sort of questions surrounding this, but what qualities do you believe to be key? You know, especially given that there's so many rapid changes within the mobile games landscape.
It's a great one. So what I've seen in the last years, I think it's a very unique mix of being creative, but also data-driven. Sometimes these things are mutually exclusive. Sometimes you have some very smart BI guys, very data-driven, but they cannot come up with a creative concept. Or you have very creative people that are steering away from some Excel report, for example. It's very, I think, tough to find these people. Mm. But when you do, actually, I saw that every time. They are out-competing everything else because you need this very niche person in the end that's satisfying both needs, so being creative and also data-driven. Because what you want as a publisher is having this very holistic view, right? So maybe your people spot some weird pattern in the onboarding data, right? Then you want to pass that on to the product team, and also maybe some best working creative out there, then you can pass that on to the design team. So you want to make sure that they're not only thinking in silos, right? And are satisfying both needs. And when the publisher can actually afford that, so only maybe bigger ones can do that, then you have some sort of HR or talent acquisition team going on the hunt for these very unique people out there. It's very tough to find these. But yeah. When you do, then it's this very gem that you want to hire and also retain in your company.
Right. And obviously, Sven, you have had experience leading teams and specifically user acquisition teams. So how do you sort of structure your UA teams to optimize for, collaboration, creativity, efficiency? Can you share some of your personal insights into managing a team that has to be both creative but also data driven? So finding that balance.
Yeah, it's also a tough one because usually it's made for mid-size or bigger publishers. So what I was always going for is a fair balance of juniors and seniors. And when you read through some job offers out there these days, I know, and when you listen to that and a junior, then I know it's tough for you right now. But I was always a fan of having this fair balance of maybe more senior people there and also more junior people.
I like that. Not everyone has that. I like that. Not everyone does that.
So give a chance to the juniors, right?
Yeah,
But honestly, the more senior people, they have the experience for sure, and they know how stuff works. But then also the more junior, maybe also younger people that bring in new perspective, right? And more, I don't know, other angle of the same problem or a different view on things, right? And also given the short time span of this industry, there's a high turnover, right? So maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, you are with a company, with a tech company or mobile company, right? And when the senior is going away and is hired somewhere else, you want to make sure that you have a very quick replacement for that. And then sometimes it's a junior position that can place that. But also what's always important, and we kind of touched that before, is this not thinking in silos, that you want to make sure that every team is connected, that you have transparency, that you also have a open communication, and that failing is not a problem, and it's part of the process, right? Mm. And that everyone knows that who's involved in that. Because right. When you have a junior, for example, they will make mistakes, right?
Yeah, It's part
and
of
that is totally fine for them.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, it is. Yeah. This is the only way you can grow and learn together, right?
Right. Definitely. So you mentioned sort of like striking a balance between creativity and data-driven optimization. So when it comes to actually crafting successful ad campaigns, how do you strike this balance? Are there any frameworks or processes that, you know, perhaps you've done it before and it's tried and tested and you're like, this is how I do things, that you rely on?
Yeah, I think I'm not the only one telling you that, but it's very common in the industry as well. So competition research in the end, right? So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And today there are so many great tools, and also the Facebook ads library out there, TikTok ads library, and all these cool tools where you can more or less simply, we have to say, look up some examples from great ads and great competition that is working for them. And when you maybe have one takeaway from this conversation, it's maybe understanding the audience. Because I've seen that many times before. People say, hey, I've done what Calm is doing. I'm doing what Candy Crush is doing, right? And all these examples. But ultimately, you want to tailor that to your audience, and that you have a really good understanding of who you're serving, right? So for whom is it in the end? So is it maybe female 40 plus from the UK? Is it maybe teenagers from France, right? And knowing that is key, that you can actually make a great ad and also come up with new ad ideas, and also tailoring the stuff that you see out there to your own audience. So it's then also about psychological insights from your audience, what you have from your own surveys maybe. What are the pain points of the audience? What are the goals, right? So what's keeping them up at night? Maybe some objections. Maybe they've tried some, I don't know, 5 fitness apps before and they didn't work out. Hey, it's an objection, right? And you can build that also in the copy and ads and all of that. So it's, good research in both ways, and knowing your audience, I think.
Interesting stuff. So in terms of maybe looking at the more technical sides of things, and maybe you could offer your advice here, but what do you think is the most overlooked aspect of conversion rate optimization within the mobile gaming space? You know, perhaps it's within app store optimization or onboarding flaws. And what can developers do to sort of address these flaws?
Yeah, when I scroll through some apps out there, and also from the ad perspective, especially for smaller companies, I see that more often, that they go too early in the branding scope. So I always tend to say that you have to have forward branding. So I've seen maybe 2 people start up with 100 users, but still having like a 50 pages brand guideline, right? So it's too much, it's too early, right? It doesn't help you in the end. And also it's limiting you, your creativity, because when you have like, I don't know, hey, this pixel must look like this in this logo here and there, but only have like 100 users, it's way too early, right? So it's limiting your creativity, it's slowing you down. So it's totally fine that Nike and Apple, all the big ones, right? They have their brand guideline books and everything. It totally makes sense, right? Yeah. But don't limit yourself too early, because you have to iterate, you have to test, you have to fail a lot of times to also have this product market fit in the end, right? So we have all maybe great ideas for some products and apps out there, but to really make it stick, to really make it work, right? It's time. You want to test something, roll out, measure with product features, but also with ads. And you need playground, and you need creativity, and don't limit yourself to other branding, for example.
Right. And obviously, Sven, you know, the mobile game space is increasingly competitive. App stores are becoming increasingly competitive. So what sort of emerging trends within app store optimization should developers and marketers be paying attention to, especially, you know, when it comes to maximizing conversions to views or downloads?
Yeah, what I still see today, actually, is the misuse of copywriting. So also when you go through some usually smaller or mid-sized company apps, they put a lot of features on the app screen, right? So we have this and that feature, we have a multiplayer, we are a lose weight app, etc., which is good, but it's a feature, right? It's inherently what the product is doing for you, right?
Yeah.
But what also in copywriting is more of a rule that you place benefits over features and say, hey, what's actually in it for me, right? So for me as a user, what get I out of that? So what is my benefit of using this stuff? And that's way better and more resonating with the user. That is not don't say, hey, I have a multiplayer, that's a feature, but hey, you can play together with your friends, right? You have a great time, right? That's a benefit. That's what you get out of that. And this is what you can do in most headlines and app store screens and also in the text, etc. This is still what I see today. So write better copy and place yourself in the customer's shoes. So what would they seek? What is them important to them, right? So benefits.
Right. So in terms of players, and especially looking at sort of user onboarding, as we know, is critical to retaining new players. So what sort of creative strategies or techniques have you found to be effective in ensuring players, you know, remain engaged and excited during these first critical few minutes of gameplay?
Yeah, it's a tough one because you want to show the user to every aspect of your game, right? To really throw in as much stuff that you find. But actually the opposite is true, because we're all humans, right? So cognitive overload is a thing, and it's a very non-issue that we can only learn so much in a given time. And I've still seen many examples where the onboarding is taking you forever, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's about the information per time that you give to the users. And when you can balance that more equally and really take the users by the hand and show them, hey, what is your game or your app and what can it do for you and how is it important? And going back to the question before, why is it solving my issue, my problem, and maybe solving my objection that I had? And doing that more evenly is usually a good thing, because sometimes I see tutorials that are just presenting like a wall of text, right? So you have to pop up and show you everything that you have. It's too much, right? So place that evenly. It's like a step-by-step thing, right? Take the user by the hand. Hey, we have this feature here, cool. And maybe after 10 minutes, hey, there's actually a chat. Cool, we can unlock that for you now, right? So don't throw in everything that you have, but maybe more, place more evenly and distribute that over time. And do it more like step-by-step. And one more thing that it's also known from movies out there. You might know show don't tell as a concept, and in gaming or apps, it's maybe one layer about that. It's do and not only show, right? So when you can experience that yourself, be it some click, be it some swipe, be it some sort of action, right? Let the users do that themselves. And this way you can learn that way faster than they're just reading about that in some tutorial or maybe, I don't know, see some animation or something.
Absolutely. Some really, really interesting advice there. Sven, so last question for you here. Can you share an example of a creative campaign that surprised you? Maybe it's with its performance, maybe it was positive. It doesn't necessarily have to be positive, it can also be negative. And what did you learn from it in terms of user motivation and messaging strategy?
Yeah, it's a very recent example. Just 2 weeks ago from one of my clients, where we also did this process what we just laid out. So the competition analysis and saw what's working for the competition, etc. It's a very simple static ad that was outperforming every big production, every user-generated content video, every influencer selfie-style video, whatever you want to name it. I cannot share exactly what it was, but it was very, very simple. You could literally do that with an iPhone, take a snapshot of your of a post-it, write some stuff down there, and that's it. It was outperforming the whole account, everything. So very simple ideas. Ridiculously simple, really.
Right. I love
something
that.
You can do basic. With the iPhone and just nail the pain point of the users. Mm. And what I said before, right? So benefits and know your audience and connect to their daily life. So what's driving them, what's keeping them up at night, and then it can be as simple as a post-it.
Right. I love that. Back to basics, deconstruct things don't have to be complex. Fantastic stuff, Sven. Well, thank you so much. I feel like you've really shared some real gems of knowledge here with all.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, I will link Sven's website in our description. That was it for this week's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Thank you, everyone. And until next time.